We're really happy to see everyone here today. Welcome to everyone. And I want to read from Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Apostle Paul writing, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We're going to be talking about enjoying liberty and using liberty properly in our lesson this morning. But it's a joy to have all of you with us today. We have a number of our members who are out of town, away today, the Banks family in Oregon. But God has brought a number of visitors our way, and we're really blessed to have you with us. And I know how much it means to Gary to have your granddaughter with us this morning. We really appreciate her coming. And we were rejoicing last Sunday night because James Brenson was baptized into Christ here. And it's good to see you, James, again here this morning with Bruce and Reese. We really look forward to getting to know you better and encouraging you in your new life in Christ. We're happy to have the Beal family with us from Des Moines. And Tom lost his father recently down in California, who was a member of the congregation there in the Sacramento area. So it's really nice to have them with us this morning. And we're really blessed to have the Reynolds family with us from Lubbock, Texas. And also Grace Walker, who has moved here from the Beaverton congregation in the Portland area. So welcome to all of you here this morning. So in Galatians chapter 5 here, Paul urges us that we are to stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. And therefore, we see that we are free in Christ. We have been given liberty, spiritual liberty in Christ. But the question really is, how do we use this? How are we to use this liberty that Christ has given us? We're told in John chapter 8 and verse 32, he said that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We definitely then have freedom in Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. But what are we doing with it? What are we supposed to do with this liberty? And the way that Paul writes here reminds us of the fact that our liberty is something that if we do not exercise it in the proper way, we might lose it. Liberty is something that is very precious and very valuable. We can think about the history of our own country. And we just have celebrated this weekend the 243rd year of liberty of our nation. And I hope that you all had the opportunity to be a part of some celebration wherever you may have been, and maybe some fireworks or seeing a parade or the flag being shown, but various ways that people in our country celebrate the freedom that we have. But we're reminded of the great history behind our nation at times like this, and how the battle for liberty and the pursuit of liberty was such a historic event in the history of our nation. We remember that as we partake our pledge allegiance, those words that we quote, "with liberty and justice for all," those have a great deal of meaning to us as Americans. And we remember the words of Patrick Henry, who spoke and he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Now, what was there about liberty? What is there about liberty that means so much that people would be willing to die for it? And when we think about the liberty that we have here in our country, and the liberty of civil liberty that we have in our nation, what is there to guide us in the use of that liberty that we have? Because some of our early leaders made it very clear that in their mind there was a light of truth that needed to be guiding our nation. James Madison said this. He said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government. Far from it. We have staked the future on the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves," he said, "according to the Ten Commandments." And Noah Webster, in 1832, he said this. He said, "The principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority." So that was the attitude that many of the founding fathers of our nations had at that time. That when we have liberty, there is going to need to be something with that liberty to help us preserve it and use it in the proper way so that we don't lose it. Whenever we think of the meaning of liberty, the definition is beautiful. It is the quality or the state of being free, the power to do as one pleases, the freedom from physical restraint, arbitrary or despotic control, positive enjoyment of various social, political, economic rights and privileges, and the power of choice. And the word freedom is defined as the quality or the state of being free, the absence of necessity or coercion, the constraint in choice or action, liberation from slavery or restraint, or the power of another, independence, the state or quality of being exempt, usually from something burdensome. Well, we know that our country today and our culture in large part today thinks of liberty as complete individualism. Independence to do as one pleases in his own life. Everyone getting to make their own choice, what they would like to do, whatever it may be. To make decisions that nobody else can tell them what to do. Well, when we compare that with the early leaders of our country, as we see in some of these quotations from some of the founding fathers, we see that they believed that there was someone that should be able to tell us what to do, and that someone was God. That our nation has been given freedom, and that in that freedom, it is a God-given freedom. And therefore, we need to respect and look to God and His Word to guide us in the exercise of that freedom. So as we think here of Galatians chapter 5 again, and what he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." How do we use our freedom? That is a question that we need to each consider in our own lives. What does it mean to you and to me that we have freedom in Christ? The freedom that we have in Christ is greater than the freedom that we have in our own nation. I think most of us, if not all, would agree that that is true, that we have spiritual freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. What does that mean to us? And how are we to use that freedom? Well, whenever we think of freedom in the Scripture, and when it is speaking about the freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, there is always an implied bondage that this freedom has set us free from. It is always there in the background that if we have been set free, then we have implied that we have been in bondage. in some way before that. And that there are now rights and privileges and blessings that we're able to enjoy now that we have been freed, that we were not able to enjoy those before that time. We now have in Christ a life of enjoyment and satisfaction and freedom that prior to that time we weren't able to experience because we were in a bondage. We were in a bondage to sin at that time. And the Galatian writer here, he talks about the fact, do not be entangled again in a yoke of bondage, referring to the law of Moses. Because some of the Jewish Christians at this time were thinking in terms that they needed to still be under the law of Moses, and they still needed to practice circumcision and bind that upon others in order to be in the favor with God, to be a pleasing to God. Well, he is saying there, stand fast in the freedom that Christ has given us and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. So we have freedom. We need to use it correctly. We need to be careful in the exercise and the use of the freedom that we have been given. Now, the Israelites, as whenever the Bible speaks about, they have been set free. It was always understood in the history of the Old Testament how that they had been slaves in Egypt, in bondage there. Back during the days of Abraham, it was foretold that they would someday go into another land and be held there for 400 years. And toward the end of the book of Genesis, we see that Joseph was sold into slavery. He was carried down into Egypt, and eventually his family went down into Egypt and dwelt there. But they ended up being held in captivity for 400 years. And yet at the end of that time, God delivered them. They were brought out free from the bondage of their Egyptian slave masters, and they experienced freedom in that Old Testament setting there. So imagine what they must have felt like to have been slaves for 400 years, and now they were free. They had freedom that they had never experienced before. We know that their life had been very cruel. Their taskmasters had been very oppressive on them, working in the bricks, making the bricks for the Pharaoh in his cities that he was building. And their life was very harsh. And yet, now through the power of God and the plagues of Egypt and Moses becoming their leader, they were able to be free from that bondage. So what is it like to be free when we have been slaves, when we have been in bondage, and now suddenly we are set free? Well, I can remember graduating from high school, the feeling of that, you know, being in your high school graduation and just suddenly realizing and say, well, I'm graduated now. I don't have to go to classes anymore like that. And I'm free to go out and get a job or pursue my education. So there's many choices, many options. I get to decide what I'm going to make of the rest of my life. And yet we begin to realize that there's a great amount of responsibility that comes with those choices. We're not just given freedom so that we can go and do anything whatsoever that we want to do with it. No, we're given freedom, and that comes with it a responsibility. What choices am I going to make now that I have this blessing of freedom? So, what would it be like if we were truly in bondage? Have you ever thought about that? What it would have been like to be a slave, to experience those kinds of things, like the Israelites had been when they were in Egypt? Now that they were free, what were they going to do? Well, they came to Mount Sinai and they realized that God had set them free for a purpose. And that was so they could serve God. Whenever they were at Mount Sinai, God appeared to them in the mountain there, and the giving of the Ten Commandments with Moses and the clouds that surrounded the mountain and so forth. And he entered into a covenant relationship with them. He made the statement in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. He said, "Now if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God then was setting them free from the Egyptian bondage that they had been in so that they could serve God. And the people gladly entered into that at the time. They said, whatever you say, we will do, Lord. And they entered into that covenant relationship with God. And God brought them out, and he brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. He truly kept his promises with the Israelite people. But we then begin to see that freedom vanishing away from the people of Israel, especially in the book of Judges. The book of Judges talks about the fact that in that day there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Well, that's a foretelling there of trouble that was about to happen, coming on the nation of Israel, because whenever they began to do whatever they wanted to do and whatever seemed right in their own eyes, that led them right back into bondage. And it will have that effect upon us as well. God had set them free for a purpose. They were free, but God made the terms clear to his people. Here are my laws. Here is my covenant. You will be a treasure to me if you keep my laws and abide within them. And yet the people began to do whatever seemed right in their own eyes. They quickly saw their freedom vanishing away. In the book of Psalms, in the 119th Psalm, there is a great deal said here about the Word of God and how important it is in the lives of each one of us. But I'm going to read a few verses here from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 41. He says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk in liberty." Now notice that those thoughts that the psalmist David is bringing forth here, and what he is saying is that David was going to walk in liberty as he walked in accordance with the words of the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart, and he recognized the importance of truth. And he said, "I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts." Liberty, then, it comes from following God. It's not from being independent of God. Being obedient to God in his service is where we find perfect liberty. In Jesus Christ, God is trying to set us free from Satan. Satan is holding many in bondage right now, in bondage to sin. God has made a way to set us free from that bondage, from the power of sin and death, as the Bible describes. And it's provided through Jesus Christ, through his blood that was shed on the cross. And we are able to be released from that bondage of sin, to be created as new in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what happened for James last Sunday evening as he was buried with Christ in baptism and turned away from his life and began a new life in Jesus Christ. But we're able to be released from bondage and set free from sin and have all of our sins washed away and forgiven and the remission of those sins through Jesus Christ. That's what he is talking about there in John chapter 8 and verse 31 through 36. As he was speaking with some of the Jewish people who, it said, believed in him. Verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered and said, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus Christ, being that he is the Son of God, he is able to give us new life and new freedom from sin. But that is found, as he said, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Liberty, then, it comes from giving up that one bondage that we have had in our lives, being released from that through Jesus and his power of his blood that was shed. And in Colossians 1 and verse 13, though, he points out that we are transferred from one kingdom, from that kingdom, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So there's a transferring of, we have been in Satan's kingdom, but now we're in God's kingdom. We are free, but now we are in a new relationship with God. And God is going to help us overcome the power of sin when we are obedient to Jesus Christ. He said he has delivered us. This is Colossians 1 and verse 13. He said, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And he goes on to describe how Jesus is the creator himself, that Jesus has all power now, that he is at the right hand of God. He has been given the preeminence. He upholds all things by the word of his power. We have been transferred then from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of God and his Son. We're not set free then to just do anything that we want to do. Our freedom is protected and preserved within that framework of living for Christ, living to serve him. And when we are in that freedom, we are set free. We truly are free in Jesus Christ. We're free to become a servant of God. And there's a song that we sometimes sing, "Make me a servant. Make me a servant of Christ. Make me your slave." Jesus frees us then by bringing us to himself so that we submit to him as Lord. And the Apostle Paul sometimes described himself. He says, "I am a servant of Jesus Christ," meaning I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Jesus has redeemed me from sin, and I belong to him, and I gladly accept that service. So as we sing, "Make me a servant, pure and holy and living my life to serve Jesus Christ." Well, we see then that freedom comes from serving God. It comes from following him and his word. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. In Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." We have freedom then in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And we see the same thing here that Peter points out. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. He says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free," notice this, verse 16, he says, "as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." We are free, yet he says, do not use that freedom as a cloak for evil doing, or a cloak for vice. Do not use our freedom and say, "Well, I have been given freedom, therefore I can do whatever I want with my freedom." In our country today, that seems to be the guiding principle that is leading our country in a very dangerous direction, in my opinion. As I look upon it and see the decisions that many are making, we have freedom. We can do whatever we want with our freedom. A woman has freedom over her own body. We have freedom to have marriage relationship. Anyone that we want to marry, regardless of which gender, which sex. And so things are being done in our country that people are choosing to take liberty and use that in a way that is disregarding of the principles that God has given us. The result of that, what is the result of that going to be? Whenever we misuse freedom, it leads back into bondage. It has always had that effect. And listen, we can misuse spiritual freedom just as easily as we can misuse civil liberty that we have. In Galatians chapter 5, once again, he drops down to verse 13. And he says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We've been given freedom then. Do not use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Make yourself a servant. Serve others. That's what Jesus calls us to do in the use of our freedom. But I want to read one other passage this morning, and then that will be the close of the lesson. In Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. We're just going to read down through this chapter together. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see that Paul makes several simple points here in this chapter. First of all, he is saying that Christ has set us free from sin. That's what Christ has done. He has set us free from sin. We were freed from sin, and now we do have the right to make our own choices. But we have been freed from that so that we can now be living our lives free to obey God, in obedience to God, so that we are able to be slaves of righteousness now that we have been set free from sin. And as a result of that, we can present our bodies to God as servants of righteousness. And as a result, we can now produce fruit unto God. The fruit of righteousness. Once Jesus has come into our life and delivered us from the bondage of sin, now we are able to pursue a life of righteousness. And we are able to produce fruit. It has changed our life. We're able to have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and gentleness and goodness in our lives, because Jesus now set us free that we can be a servant of righteousness. Freedom then is knowing that I have God in my life and I'm following Him. I'm no longer serving Satan. I am following Jesus Christ. But I do know this, that any time I begin to practice what I am doing just because that's what pleases me, that's what my desires want me to do, then that's not freedom. That is going to take me straight back into bondage, the bondage to sin that Jesus has helped me to escape my life from. Going back to the law of bondage that some of the early Christians of the Galatians, they were considering that, going back under the law. Paul said, don't stand fast. Don't be brought back under the law of bondage, the yoke of slavery that you have gotten out from. Be free in Jesus Christ. Live your life to serve Him. Whether it be that bondage or going back under the bondage of sin, we have to make the choice. We are free to make the choice. But the choice that we should be making, each one of us, as a follower of Jesus, Lord, make me a servant. I want to be a servant of Christ. I want to live for Christ. I want to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ, because I want God to direct and own my life and use me as He wills in my life. I don't want to use my liberty for the wrong purpose. I don't want to misuse it. Otherwise, I can lose that I have been given. He has made me free to serve Him, and that's where I'm going to find the true joy in life, and a life filled with fruit of righteousness that glorifies and honors God, guided by the Spirit of God and freeing me to live my life in Jesus Christ. That's the kind of service that I want to render to the Lord as long as I live. And that's how I'm going to enjoy the freedom that Christ has given me. If the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. And that is the only way that we can really have true freedom in this life, is freedom in Jesus Christ to live and serve Him and be free from the bondage of sin. Thank you for your attention today. If there are anyone here today that needs to respond now to the invitation of Jesus this morning, to come to Him believing that He is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, confess that He is Lord, and to be buried in baptism, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And if you are subject to that invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Oh.